Welcome to episode 8 of Mindful Conversations. I'm here with Shamash, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about approaching the inmost cave, the dark night of the soul.
We are broadcasting from the cave. That's probably why you can hear an echo.
We're actually going to be talking about some of the things that happen in the cave as well, aren't we, Shamash? Which is about the ordeal. So we're going to blend in this episode the inmost cave, the dark night of the soul, and the ordeal. And what is that? What is that all about? Well, we can probably think about our own lives, which is what we're doing in this podcast, which is what we always do. But I know Shamash likes to talk about the Matrix, and he likes to talk about the Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah. So how does this all link up to our favorite films? And what part of the journey are we exploring here?
Approach to the inmost cave is that moment just before we have that big fight. So before Neo in the Matrix gets surrounded by the agents, Agent Smith, and he has this almighty altercation, basically. This is before he kind of does that super move that you saw everybody starting to do after the Matrix film, where he goes backwards and dodges the bullets. Yeah. That's the ordeal.
Don't try that at home.
Also known as limbo. But yeah, it's the lead up to that point, essentially.
Yeah.
And yeah. Likewise, yeah. My favorite film as well is Lord of the Rings. And we see that when they barely survive on their journey. They actually physically go into a cave, by the way. So they don't just approach in most cave figuratively. They do it literally. I mean, films can do that. They have creative license. And they barely escape the mountains of Moria. But we approach the inmost cave in our own lives. And then there's a challenge that it's so difficult that we're calling the dark night of the soul, aren't we, Shamash?
I don't think we're the only ones that call it dark night of the soul. But it's a powerful metaphor. And so many people that I've worked in use that idea and they feel that they've gone through it. So I think it links in really nicely with what we're going to talk about. And we talked to a whole group of wonderful people as usual, and let's start with therapist Mari Williams. We asked her what the dark night of the soul means for her.
I think that we all have those moments, and I think actually if we were a bit more honest that we all have those moments, we wouldn't all then feel so bad when we have those moments, because that's what it is, isn't it? You feel alone and you feel like you're the one that's stuck out there. So I think that kind of crashing and burning, I actually said this to a client the other day, because she said, when I had my breakdown, and I said to her, please don't call it a breakdown. I said, when you had your healing moment or your purple wobbly moment or, you know, your pause point or whatever you want to call it, because I said, what that was your brain just saying, actually, I just need a break right now. I'm struggling to deal with this, or physically, I just need a break. And I know, you know, my mum died a couple of years ago, literally just before COVID hit. And I just literally crashed for about 6 weeks, and I was okay with it, because I was just like, okay, this is like me healing. This needs to happen. Can't speed it up. It needs to get there. Now, I teach people not to get to that point. I very much do healing stuff before that. But if you do get there because life has dumped, you know, something awful on you, it is okay to say, this is not me breaking. I'm not broken. I'm not a crazy person. I'm not lost. I'm just healing. I just need a moment to pause, regather my thoughts, and to allow my brain, my body, everything to just pause and to heal. And for me to learn some more stuff. So kind of the event that I went through, I had to go and learn some stuff about it to be able to accept what happened and what was going on. And I just think if you can be okay with that, you know, we're alive for 80 odd years. Most people are going to have something where they're like, I don't know what to do about this. So I think if we can just say, this is okay, it's okay. But let's not refer to it as broken or crazy, or do you know what I mean? And so when we get to that moment to go, this is okay, it's okay. But what I do need to do is take some action. So if I'm feeling, you know, like I don't want to be here anymore, I need to go speak to people. I need to talk to my friends, professionals, whatever it is. And I need to have those conversations. But to be able to say, a lot of my clients, interestingly, I ask them to come up with a key phrase that will help them through difficult times. And they almost always come up with a this too shall pass, all of them. Doesn't matter religion, culture, whatever, because actually we know that, don't we? Most things will pass through.
So it was fascinating how Mari emphasized actually the power of seeing the Dark Knight as a healing moment, and the power of almost reframing it, seeing it in a different way can help us from spiraling downwards a little bit more. But let's explore a little bit more about what do we actually mean by this Dark Night of the Soul?
It kind of hints to me towards an inner turmoil. We don't feel that we can ever reach or attain happiness. The energy level feels low, so there's no zest for life when you wake up in the morning. And there's a sense of foreboding as well, like things are terrible and I think they're going to get worse. And I suppose maybe they can, or maybe you're already there. But you really feel in a low place.
I think when there's a sense of hitting really rock bottom, we feel, I'm not sure if there's any way out of this. I've tried this, or what's happened to me in my life right now is just so overwhelming that I don't know if I can carry on. It's that sense of, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And there's something powerful about that, because if there's this sense of hitting rock bottom, but also this sense of I've tried this approach again and again and again, and maybe I need to give up on this particular way of getting out of this hole. It's a bit like digging a hole, and I've been digging a hole to try and get out of this hole, and it's not working, and I continue to dig deeper and deeper. Maybe there's something else. And that metaphor is like when we're doing it to ourselves, but it can be an external thing that's happening to us that makes us feel that way.
I mean, that sense of hopelessness really rings true. And, you know, the question of will this ever end as well? Will I ever get out of this tunnel? Is there light at the end of the tunnel for me? A bit like going from West London to East London on the tube.
Yeah. Not much like that.
Does this tunnel ever end, you know? But I mean, I make jests, but of course it's not really fun for us when we're in those spaces, when we're in those dark moments. And there is some potential benefit, though, isn't there, to the Dark Night of the Soul?
Yeah. I mean, in Mari's last sharing that she said that, you know, many of her clients say that one of the things that always comes up is this too shall pass. And if you could think of the real experience of going through a cave and it feels very dark and you can't turn backwards, so you need to keep going, then you can't see any light at that moment. But this cave will have an end, this sense of, okay, if I keep going in this direction, something different will happen, or there will be some opportunity that will come. But just sitting in the corner and hoping that will happen, it won't work that way.
Yes. And I think Kush also has some thoughts on that. When we spoke to Kush Kanodia, our social entrepreneur friend and colleague.
In 2005, I was doing my MBA, my dissertation, and my brother passed away at that time. So I literally left everything. I went to Kuwait at that time. We took my brother, we buried him in India, came back to Kuwait, and literally everything in my life just suddenly changed from having a plan, and all that changed. And I realized that my purpose at that time was to look after my nephew. He was only 4 years old, four or five, when my brother passed away. So then I spent the next 6-7 years just really looking after him and making sure he's all right. And now he's doing a degree in engineering. He's just got a job in IBM. So sometimes these things happen that are not our intentions or our plans, but it is the most painful thing, the most difficult thing when you're going through it. But sometimes you realize that maybe there are meanings in these, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's difficult to understand the full meaning when somebody passes away. But I realized that in some way, for me, it helped to refocus my life and my purpose to family members that I need to help at that time. And then whatever they go on to achieve, or whatever you've helped to enable at that time, you don't know. Because that's one of the kind of interesting things about life is, when something changes direction, you don't know what the outcome of the original direction was going to be, because that direction has already changed.
Thank you for sharing that, Kush. That was a really powerful story and an example of a really difficult, a challenging thing that can come upon all of us when we experience loss. And this goes with the other people that we spoke to about Dark Arc Night of the Soul. There's this sense of hitting rock bottom, experiencing something that you really didn't imagine that you'd experience. And at the same time, this opening up an opportunity, seeing it as a chance to refocus one's life, as Kush said, or finding purpose. So this seems to come up again and again. We meet the hardest of all challenges. We try to get out of it. We're not sure how to get out of it. And yet, as time passes, if we see it in the right way, it actually gives an opportunity to discovering something new and seeing things in a way that actually gives us more meaning and more purpose. So there's a sense of universality about it. And so one of the things, you know, I want to emphasize through this particular episode of our podcast is that everybody goes through the dark night of the soul. Everybody goes through difficulties and challenges. Everybody feels stuck and everyone finds themselves in a place of low hope or hopelessness. And so you don't need to think that, you know, what am I doing wrong in my life, or why is it happening to me, or feel so isolated about it. We talked to Dr. Wendy Malefi, who's a medical doctor, but also works in the field of mindfulness. And she talks about the universality of the dark night of the soul, these difficult experiences that we go through, and some ways of kind of getting out of this challenging situation we find ourselves in.
I guess that place befalls all of us at some point in our lives. It's this being called human. We will all experience that sort of raw, dark pain that, you know, you haven't asked for it. You lose someone that you love. We've just had COVID ravaging through the world, and there has been so much pain, if you want to call it that, that sort of that place or whatever. There's been so much pain from this pandemic. But I guess, yet again, for me, it is that philosophy that, you know, it'll pass. But equally, remembering when you sit with it reminds me of the second arrow. I don't know if you know about it. So essentially the sense of that dark place that you're talking about being the first arrow. Something happens that causes us immense pain, be it physical or emotional pain. It's not something that we've asked for, but it just happens. So all we can do is perhaps sit with it and just feel it until it goes on its merry way, or just see what you learned from it and see what, you know, what learning it's meant to bring you if you're open to that, if you're of that mindset. But what human nature tends to do is that we will perhaps catastrophize. We just create a whole different narrative, which then becomes the second arrow that we're stabbing ourselves with, and just compounding the distress that would be there for however long it stays. This whole idea of how we respond to challenge, how we, yes, the key word there being responding with choice, knowing that you have a choice. You can sit here and just feel this pain, or you can move your hand away from this pain, or find a safe place, or you can, whatever the discomfort is, instead of allowing yourself to wallow, or instead of allowing yourself to spiral down a narrow path, you can find a resource or some way, especially with mindfulness in mind. It's about being resourceful. You can decide where you're going to put your focus, and perhaps even go for a walk, pick up the phone so that you can short circuit that potential spiral. You can then just channel your mind in a different way. That's where the skill comes into play. A little bit more skillfulness. Instead of letting the world happen to you, where you make that choice that, right, I'm not going to wallow. Okay, I know if I do this, this is what's going to happen, but I'm going to call a friend and just have a chat with a friend. And when you come off that phone call, something would have shifted. Something surely does shift.
Wow, what Wendy says is always powerful, and I always value the insights that we get in this show. And particularly just something coming up again is the point about choice. realizing that we still do have choice, even when we're in the dark night of the soul. And Wendy says that, she says, knowing that you have a choice, you can sit here and just feel this pain, or you can move your hand away. Now, I feel that there is a very clear thread here between the dark night of the soul, approaching the inmost cave in the hero's journey, and the ordeal. I mean, the two really are flip sides of the same coin. And we are also expanding into the challenge of the ordeal itself, as we're hearing from our guests. But I wonder if there is, as we like to do, Shamash, find alternative views and perspectives, if there's another way of looking at this, if there's maybe a different way of approaching or seeing this, or perhaps something we maybe even have a thought of ourselves.
We're exploring these ideas in the context of acceptance and commitment therapy or training. And what we're saying from that approach is that maybe there's a radically different way of dealing with, let's say, our depression or anxiety. So let's have a concrete example. So we're going through the feeling of depression, or we're feeling very depressed, and we're fighting it, we're trying to get rid of it, we're doing everything we can, and rather than it passing, it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and we use all the energy that we can. We don't feel we've got any energy left to fight it. What do? It can actually feel like we're giving up at that point. And that's what the mind will tell us. And so we actually got the opportunity to speak to the originator, founder or co-founder of ACT, Acceptance and Commitment Training. And I asked Dr. Stephen Hayes about this, this sense of, are we giving up if we just accept this difficult feeling or this difficult situation?
I'm reminded of a thing that happened many years ago when I'd been exposed to some early Zen work by a famous person, Joshu Sasaki Roshi, back when I was in college. We're talking now, oh golly, we're approaching 50 years ago. And a professor was interested in Zen, brought me over, and he sort of saw how much I was struggling and stuff. And he invited me over to his house, he was making some tea, and he said, "Here, I've got a thing I want you to do. You see these five dots?" And he went ding, ding, ding on a piece of paper. And he said, "You know, this is an intelligence test, and you're such a smart person. I want you to find a way to connect them with three straight lines without ever lifting your pen off the paper." And I said, "Okay." And he goes and he's fixing the tea, and I'm working, I'm sweating. And no matter what I do, it's not working. I can get four of the five dots, but I can't get the fifth dot, and I'm trying it this way and that way. And finally, he comes back with the tea and he says, "So, how did you do?" And I said very shamefacedly, "I failed. I couldn't do it." And he went, "Ha ha ha, of course, it's impossible."
So then you just take a delightful kind.
Well, I smiled, and I wasn't mad at him, but it was an important moment in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, is that giving up? If he were to come again and he were to say, "Here are the five dots. Now, while I make tea, try really hard." But if I said, "Oh, I don't think I want to do that. Thank you. I think I'll watch you make your tea." Would that be giving up?
Interesting.
Would that be hopelessness? I'd say no. That would be enjoying being with my professor, watching him make tea. And the space that got created for that is to just notice how things work. If you knew beforehand that some of the problem solving we're doing is actually not going to solve the problem, it's actually going to create the problem. If you could actually see that sometimes our behaviors need to be channeled in an entirely different direction with an entirely different agenda, that wouldn't be experienced as hopelessness and no, it'd be more like, "Cool, I've got some freedom to do something with my energy other than that stupid thing that looks like it's going to work, but it's a trick. It's a trick of mind. It's never going to work for anybody. It's not that I was hiding behind the door when the greens were passed out."
Yeah.
This is not how life works.
I love that story by Dr. Hayes explaining a different way. And so although our mind says things like, "This is hopelessness for me to stop fighting with my depression, anxiety," actually, it's just a different way. It's a different approach. It's stopping using our usual problem-solving mind to try and fix an emotion, and actually seeing it as our teacher, and some value in actually opening up to it and feeling it. It reminds me of another story that I was told once. And it was a story of an unfortunate little fly that was seemingly trapped in a room. And so this fly's in the room and it sees the window and it wants to get out. So it flies into the window to try and get out. And obviously it doesn't work. So it tries again, again and again. And the only solution that the fly can think for getting out of this room is to try and hit this window harder and harder. Now, just around the corner or just next to that window is another window that's wide open. And all the fly needed to do was to step back and actually fly around the corner and it would be free. And yet, because it's wired up to this solution that I need to try harder and harder if something doesn't work, it ends up getting injured and eventually dying. Whereas actually there was an alternative solution there. And sometimes this is what we can do. We can feel trapped in a certain situation and keep trying our old methodology, our old problem solving approach, which is the solution our mind gives, which is fight harder and harder and harder, even though we're getting worn out. And so what we would hope the fly would do would be to stop, to look around, to take a step back. And that's not being hopeless. That's actually trying something different, going in a different direction, channeling our energies in different ways.
I was reflecting, actually, having heard that, about when Dr. Stevens says sometimes our behaviors need to be channeled in a different direction. And he's almost closed the loop, actually, for me, about what Kush said about changing direction. He said when Kush talked about not knowing how things would have worked out just by the change of direction that has already ensued in your life. We don't know. It might have been a different route to a different outcome. And for me, the hallmarks of that are also sort of reflective in changing perspectives, you know, in storytelling. We can always use stories, of course, to understand and create meaning, to contextualize the world, of course. But we can use them to also develop new perspectives, which I think is one of the areas we want to focus on as well going forward, Shamash, isn't it? Yeah. Around helping people to use stories to unlock new perspectives, which can help perhaps help people change direction as well.
Exactly. I mean, one of the key skills in ACT is perspective taking, seeing things from a different perspective, and it's very good for our mental and emotional well-being. So learning to see these different perspectives is important, but it's hard to do. And, you know, we heard from one of our interviewees that calling a friend, having a chat, that can sometimes help. Just being mindful for a moment or two, breathing, seeing things from a bigger picture can help. And, you know, for any therapists or any counselors, coaches listening or whoever you are, even watching other movies, reading other stories, part of the beauty of that is they start to give you a different perspective and give the opportunity for you to start to change or shift your story and the meaning that story creates for you. Thanks so much for listening. We found it certainly a very fascinating episode and really enjoyed speaking to our guests.
Absolutely.
So next week, don't miss it, because we're going to be exploring how to discover your gifts and the power of grit. So that's what's coming up next week. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for the reviews that we've had. iTunes or Spotify. Yeah, really appreciate it. If you could take a minute to just leave a review and a sentence or two about how you're finding the podcast, we really enjoy reading them. So thank you so much. Share it with your friends, and we look forward to catching you next week on Mindful Conversations.
See you next week.